Amen. That's it. We have to be resolved to go to higher ground. Amen. Doesn't happen by accident. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. First Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter in the Bible. And it is amazing that there were those in the church at Corinth that said there was no resurrection of the dead. I wonder if those were the people that Paul says evil communications corrupt good manners. I wonder if those were the people that the Apostle Paul says you need to separate from them. They're casting doubt about the truth. And that is affecting the way you live. But the gospel, the resurrection, here we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we find that, first of all, we find foundational truths here concerning the resurrection. We'll read a few verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I should not, and that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. So we preach, and so ye believed. The resurrection is obviously the foundation to the gospel, to the facts of the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the good news? Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Christ died all the way from Genesis 3:15, in which Satan would wound the heel of the Savior. Christ was predicted to die. All the way to Isaiah, where he was wounded for our transgressions. All the way to the picture of the two scapegoats in the Day of Atonement. The one scapegoat was killed and made a sacrifice for our sins. But the Bible says that he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The foundation of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as there was the scapegoat that died, there was the living scapegoat that they confessed the people's sins, and he was sent far away into the wilderness to take their sins far away, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, Amen. Neither will his flesh see corruption, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us that in his death he died for our sins, and he was raised again for our justification. The facts of the gospel, the resurrection is foundational to the facts of the gospel. There's no gospel without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we see, along with that, that the resurrection is the foundation of the Scripture. You'd have to deny the inspiration of the Bible, of the Scriptures, the Old Testament, if you're going to deny and question the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is foundational truth, and along with it, of course, is what he accomplished on the cross. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection is foundation to the facts of the gospel, but resurrection is foundation to the response to the gospel. If you turn to Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Isn't amazing all those verses that we quote about the Romans road? Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Bible says that resurrection is foundational in our response to the gospel. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A living Savior. A living Savior. A victorious Savior. Of course, speaking of the validity of his death, but he didn't merely die for our sins. He conquered death, conquered Satan, he conquered the grave. You know, it's the gospel is more than Jesus dying to save us from hell. He rose from the dead. The Bible says, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's not just talking about saving us from hell. It's talking about, as well, the power of sin. The power of sin. The power of sin. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Everything that's related to sin. The takeover of our planet, the earth, by Satan. as Adam fell. For one by one man, sin entered into the world. The stain of sin, the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel, the foundation of the gospel is a resurrection. He just didn't die, he rose again. And our response, the foundation of our response is that he rose from the grave. The grave is empty. He's alive. He's a living Savior. Now you think about all that, that just ties in right with the whole concept of repentance. There's only one person that can change our life, Jesus Christ. Repentance. We need a new life. We need power over sin. We can't do it. But he rose from the grave, amen? He's a living Savior. Power over sin. You know, the whole gospel you think about it. This whole idea of just the gospel is a fire escape from hell. To magnify that is to minimize the gospel. He wants to deliver us from this present evil age. Amen. He wants us to be conformed to his image. He wants to deliver us from every aspect of the curse of sin upon mankind. And of course, the resurrection is the key to that. He rose from the grave. Shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Believe in thine heart. Now, I personally think that the phrase heart emphasizes our inner being, but it emphasizes our will. Emphasizes our will. You know, a person who cannot exercise their will and turn to Jesus Christ and call upon him and trust him, who can't exercise their will. You know, the key ingredient of faith is a liberated will. A will that is bound is a heart that is hard. It's a heart that can't respond to God. Keep your heart. How many people? It comes time to make a decision for God, and they won't or they can't. Their will has been strangled by sin. Cannot operate. What a wonderful thing it is to have a will. Amen? Isn't it a wonderful thing to choose, that you can choose right? You know, choose you this day whom you will serve. And yet people don't. They do nothing. Stay the same. Don't change. Don't respond to God's word. Do nothing. You know why? Sin. Sin has hardened their heart. Their will is unable to respond to God. Whosoever will. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever will. The resurrection is foundation to the facts. It's a foundation to Scripture. It's foundation to our response to the gospel, believing, it's foundational to reality. He said he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. That include Matthias. Wasn't he 11, 12? Seen of 500 brethren. How many witnesses do you have to have? How many witnesses do you have to have? I mean, these were witnesses. Why? Because he really rose from the dead. That's why they were witnesses. Because he actually rose from the dead. And they actually saw him. Reality. You know, a lot of people want to deny reality today. I mean, what kind of court case would say he didn't raise from the dead with all these witnesses? Reality. And of course, then he was seen of James and all the apostles, and last he was seen of me also. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we could put that on the other hand in so many other aspects. But I love how we sing sometimes, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Ask me, how does that go? He asked me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You know, when you get saved, you experience the reality of the resurrection in your life. You experience the reality, the resurrection in your life. The living Savior comes to live within your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. I remember Chris Sage. You know Chris, missionary in Mexico now, but he came here on a Sunday morning, and his aunt and uncle live here in Mequonago. I think his aunt might still be alive. And he had gotten saved. Some kids from Maranatha back in the days of soul winning went to his door, knocked on his door, led him to Christ. He was partially cooked on drugs, but they led him to Christ. He was probably 16 or 17. And they were going to a congregational church, and so he went to a Lakeland College theology department to be trained for the ministry. And he came to Quantico Baptist Church, and after church, he and I had a little conversation. And I knew where he was coming from, or I knew where Lakeland College was coming from. And I says, you know, Jesus said creation actually happened. In the beginning, God made them male and female. I says, you know, Jesus said the flood really took place. Coming of the Son of Man will be as the days of Noah. And he really said that Jonah was real. Anyway, so Chris Sage goes back to Lakeland College, and he says, you know, he said, hey, you know what they're teaching us isn't the truth. And he got kicked out. And the next semester he went to enroll at Maranatha, and I went with him. And so met with Dr. Cederholm, and Dr. Cederholm says, Chris, are you saved? And he says, I think so. Chris, it's not that way. He says, when Jesus Christ comes to live within you, that happens right then. I can't remember exactly what he said. It's the difference between night and day. Either you're saved or you're not. Amen? Amen? Either you're saved or you're not. Either resurrected Christ came to live within you or he didn't. You know, resurrection is a reality that takes place. The application of it takes place in the life of every person that gets saved. Every person that gets saved has reality. I mean, that's a checkpoint. You know what I mean? That's a checkpoint. If you can't identify with that, I mean, that's foundational, right? If you don't have a living reality, a living relationship with Jesus Christ, he can come into your life. Hey, you better do some real checking up. That's maybe why your life didn't change. That's maybe why you don't love Bible. That's maybe why you don't love holiness. Maybe that's why you don't love these things. But now, we find that the Christian, that the resurrection is the not only foundational to salvation, but the resurrection is foundational to the Christian life. There, we could say many things about that, but let's look at a few things in the Bible. It says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We are of all men most miserable. Well, guess what? That's what unsaved people think about living a holy life. Like I say, maybe that's what you think. Man, that's miserable. I want to be free. Yeah, your flesh wants to be free. But that ain't free, that's bondage. When you get saved, you're living for God, you're really free. Free. Power of sin. Notice it says in verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? You know, think about this. Apostle Paul saying, our life is on the line all the time. Why would we be willing to risk our life to share the gospel if there was no resurrection? Why would we be willing to stand in jeopardy? You know, that was a common trait to the early believers. You know, they were looking for this wasn't part of the message, but if they were looking for men to take the message to Galatia to correct the Judaizers, and they need to find somebody who would be faithful, that they could depend on, that would deliver the message and not be swayed by these powerful Judaizers who are changing the gospel. And they said, let's look out for some men who have hazarded their life for Jesus Christ. In other words, they risked their life for the gospel. Why would you risk your life? Because you know what? The resurrection is real to your life. The resurrection is real. You see, that's the focal point of the New Testament Christian. You know, we get it Isn't it, we get our focus so off today because we get so tired. Aren't you tired of people who are, they are constantly trying to avoid any cost to the gospel? And it just gets boring and disgusting. They want to live like the world, want to dress like the world, want to listen to the music of the world. You know why? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. That's why. It isn't focusing in their life. There's another life. There's eternity. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, we have left all and followed you. We've left all." Why were they willing to leave all? And Jesus said, "There's no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel." A lot of people, they can't even identify with that. They don't even get it. "There's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life."
Wow.
You know, that's the gospel. That's Christianity. A resurrected Savior. Paul says, we stand in jeopardy every hour. We're not afraid to die. You know, the Russian Christians, I hear you met some Ukrainian Christian related in spirit to George events. And the Ukraine, Russia, the Christians greeted each other under persecution. And how'd they greet each other? "He is risen." They reply, "He is risen indeed." Why were they willing to go to prison? The Rangers met the lady up there at the hospital reading the Ukrainian Bible. And this girl, lady, her father and brother were spent time in jail under communism for the gospel. Why would you be willing to do that? You know why? Because the resurrection is a foundation of the Christian life. And we need to get that right in the top of our soul. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational. And the resurrection is foundational. We will stand again forever. What can we give up for God? Nothing. Nothing. What can we give up for God? Nothing. What can we lose for God? Nothing. Modern day Christianity is all about protecting a person's self. Money, possessions, their life. Well, what did Jesus say? If you hate not your own life, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple if you don't hate your life. If you want to do what you want to do, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Why would someone be willing to give up their life? You know why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead and we're saved, we're going to stand again too. And for eternity. And so what does he say? Resurrection is foundation to how we live. How we live. How we live. How we live. So he said in verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Georgi Vins. The Russians hated him. Communists hated him. Russian Baptist preacher. They want to get rid of him. They tried to starve him to death. They tried to work him to death. Didn't work. So they put him in a cell full of murderers. Five murderers. And they must have told these murderers something that was a lie about him. And they figured, we'll get him now. They'll kill him for us. And they said to Georgi Vins, we're going to kill you tonight. You lay down, go to sleep, we'll kill you. You want it? And Georgi Vins and was tired. He said, Lord, I just trust my life to you, whatever you want. Slept like a baby. I don't think I could do that. I'm not that good a Christian. And next night they said, I don't know why we didn't kill you, but we are going to kill you tonight for sure. And you know, maybe you don't know this, but people that murder someone, they've crossed a line. They've crossed a line and they can easily do it again. We will kill you. The third night took place. They didn't kill him. He said the same thing, prayed prayer, slept like a baby, got up in the morning and he was alive. I don't know why we didn't kill you. And they said, finally, that third morning, they said, who are you? Who are you? Why are you here? He said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I don't know how it went. But they say, do you have a Bible? Hidden in the sole of his shoe. He had a little Gospel of Mark. Sacred. Oh, the most precious thing he had. He pulled that out and gave it to the ringleader of the murderers. That night, that ringleader of the murderers read the Gospel of Mark over and over. I don't know exactly all the timeline, but eventually every single one of those murderers got saved. They all had a turn to read the Gospel of Mark, and they got saved. You know why? Because there was a man that wasn't afraid of death. You know why he wasn't afraid of death? Because his life was centered on the truth of the resurrection. You know, we live in a day in which the resurrection is so far from our thinking. You know, Brother Henning gave a tremendous series at the university on the resurrection. And the resurrection actually means anastasis, to stand again. That this body is going to stand again. And you know, the way people treat their bodies today, Christians, the way they treat their bodies, the way they mark up their bodies, the way they have body modifications and mutilation. You know why? They don't believe in the resurrection. The body's for the Lord, not for sin. And the Apostle Paul says, if I, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What a horrible thought, thinking of there at one of those Colosseums having to fight these wild beasts because you're a Christian. He wouldn't give up his faith. And then it says, And there's the context. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't associate with people who don't live like the resurrection is real. Their whole life is a leavening effect. How many people in this world live like there's a resurrection? How many Christians live like there's a resurrection? The sad thing is, I think that probably we live in a day, I think it's true, especially in America, in Western Christianity, I think we live in a day, and I'm trying to check my own heart, is that the resurrection is not a vital truth. Oh, it is doctrinally, but it's not practically. You say, how do you say that, Pastor? Because we don't live like it. And notice the conclusion of this book, this chapter. And he's saying, what is the concluding thought of how the resurrection ought to cause us to live? It says, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why would you always want to be working for the Lord? Why would you always want to be working for the Lord? Why do people always want to work for the Lord? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a resurrection. Just like Peter said, Lord, we've left all. And the Lord says, you didn't leave anything. You didn't leave anything. Your labor is not in vain. You know, the worldly thinking is your labor's in vain. Do you know that it is a terrible, terrible sin today in the modern Christian to have your life revolve around a local church? What a terrible sin it is for you to immerse yourself in the ministry of a church. What a terrible sin it is, horrible thing, that your life centers around a church and the ministry. Horrible. Horrible thing. Yeah. How sad unbiblical thinking they have. The Lord says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I remember my friend Sid, one of the early Christians I met, the first church I was a member of. I remember him telling me, my relatives think that I'm wasting my life. I tithe. They think I'm wasting my life. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning service, evening service, Wednesday. They think I'm wasting my time. You know, that's how a lot of Christians think, don't they? Wasting the time. Wasting your time going to church. Wasting your time serving God. Wasting your time. You know why they think that way? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. That's why. But be around someone who believes in the resurrection. Be around someone who believes in the resurrection. Can you just imagine being around George Evans? I mean, you were kind of talking with those. I mean, isn't there a sense of that kind of living is contagious, isn't it? It's convicting. It's inspirational. It helps us see the truth. My labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection is the key to living the Christian life the right way. Those who don't believe in the Christian, don't believe in the resurrection, guess what? Sorry to say. They're the ones at the movies tonight. They can't sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Resurrection. Realize that this is a quick summary of a pretty important chapter in the Bible. But as we close the service, I want us to think about how real is the resurrection. How real is the resurrection? Did you believe from your heart in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did you call upon Jesus Christ seeking the living God? Not only save you from your penalty of your sin, but from the power of sin. Wanting to give you a new life. Resurrection is key to our life. Really, where is it in the top of our minds? I'm preaching to myself right now. Preaching to myself right now. How often do we think about the resurrection? How often do we live like the resurrection is real? I fear very little. Very little. And I guarantee you, those Christians who have chosen to become worldly and more like the world, guess what? I guarantee you, they're not thinking much about the resurrection either. And evil communications will corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. This world needs people who believe in the resurrection. You know, I think you'd have to really believe in the resurrection to go to be called to a Muslim country. Don't you think so? I've been in a little bit in the danger zone in South Africa. Nathan, Laura, their house has already been broken in 3 times. You know, most people would never put themselves in that situation. Why would you do that? Why'd you live under that tension? There's only one reason. Jesus rose from the dead. He is risen. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And we'll see Him forever. Amen. we'll see him forever. How could people go to China under Hudson Taylor? Come die in China! You know why? Because they believe in the resurrection. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, as a checkpoint, let me ask you a question. How much are we thinking about the resurrection? How much does the resurrection affect our decisions, our lifestyle, our view of holiness, all these different things? I think it's a key principle. Perhaps as we close, you need to be like me and you say, you know, Lord, I need to have the very fact, the resurrection, much more central in my thinking. Much more central in my thinking. Perhaps you have to say, you know, I've been affected by people whose lifestyle is obvious that they don't really, really live like there's a resurrection. And it causes me to hang on to this world and this life and not live for God. You need to get away from that kind of influence. And you need to get around people who are living like there is a resurrection. And, of course, tonight, why don't you think about your salvation? Salvation is real. I talked to a guy yesterday. I says, about being born again. I says, are you born again? He says, I'm trying. I says, no, that's not how it goes. I think I understood what he meant, but you're not trying to get born again. When you get saved, you're passed from death into life. When you get saved, Holy Spirit, who is outside, now comes on the inside. The living God comes to live within you. He had a new nature. It's real. Because Jesus rose from the dead. You know, it says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I wonder if our people around us can figure out that we believe in the resurrection. You know what I mean? Monroe Parker tells a story. He's a young preacher. This preacher in Tennessee says, hey, can you come to our town and have a revival meeting? Every preacher's ever come, they chased them out of town. Can't guarantee, give you any money, guarantee anything. I can guarantee you they'll try to chase you out of town. Would you come? Monroe Parker prayed about it and he says, I'll come. He went to that town. First night he got up in the pulpit, the ruffians in town came in the lobby, you know, the old-fashioned church with a little foyer out there and then the church, you know. And the preacher, the preacher is an old man, saw him come in. And he knew what they were up to. And he went out there to the foyer to kind of try to stop these ruffians, you know. And they kind of roughed up the old preacher and whatever they did and pushed him to the side. And they marched down the aisle. He's got a gun. The leader of the pack got a gun. He's pointing it right at Monroe Parker. And Monroe Parker says, put that gun down. I got eternal life. I can't die. Something like that. Put that gun down. And the guy, shocked, put his gun down. And he says, now go sit down and listen. And he got saved that night. Eventually 700 ruffians from that town got saved in that revival. You know why? Because there's a preacher that was unafraid to die. the reality of the resurrection was real in his life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight, and thank you, Lord, we are convicted. Oh, we are convicted about the reality of the resurrection. And Lord, our soul needs to be liberated. Our souls need to be liberated from this false thinking that hangs on to this world, hangs on to our time, hangs on to our possessions, hangs on to pleasures. He won't invest our time in the work of God. Won't invest our time in souls. Won't give up our lives for you. Because, Lord, we believe the lie of the devil. We don't really believe it in doctrine, but we believe it in practice. Lord, help us to live like eternity is real. And we will stand before you someday. And we'll know then what you said. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May these truths, Lord, make a difference in our life. Lord, we might know this intellectually tonight, but we're praying that, Lord, that you'll do more than just tickle our brains. Sadly, say maybe somebody even get their brains tickled. But God, we need our soul stirred. We need our minds changed. Of the truth, by the truth, for the truth, for the Savior, to really live like there's a resurrection. And that's worth it, to live for God. And I pray, Lord, for that precious soul, who their salvation is some kind of dead repeat of some dead prayer. Nothing real. Nothing real happened. They're in bondage to their own deadness. Lord, help them to believe in thine heart, in their hearts, that Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. He can not only save them from hell, but he can save them from sin, give them a new life. Lord, give them that faith tonight to turn to the living Savior, to save them. Give him a new heart, new life, and then deliver him. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God speaking to your heart and say, you know, God did more than stir me a little bit. I recognize I'm ready. I'm ready tonight to do something about this. And the Lord has just dealt with me tonight that I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to start investing my life in the things of God. I'm going to start risking my life for God. I'm not going to hang on to my life. I'm going to give it up for God. I'm going to start to living that life like there really is a resurrection. And this life is just temporary. The Lord knows what's doing happening in your life. And you know that the truth is facing you, and God's saying, okay, it's time for you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. It's time for you to get off from sitting on the pew to start serving with your life. Not expecting people to constantly serve you, but you to serve others and God. Give up your life. There's a resurrection. Say, God spoke in my heart tonight. I'm ready to say, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to start living like the resurrection is real, making the serving God and the risk that's with it just normal. Pastor, pray with me. That's my decision tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Amen. If you aren't ready, what does that mean? Ask yourself that. Lord, thank you for stirring hearts, for decisive decisions. People, Lord, obviously been doing business with you that they're able to make such a big decision on a drop of a hat. Now, God, carry it through. Carry it through, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help them even to pass the test tomorrow, how they're going to give up their time to serve God and to live like there's a resurrection. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.